than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. And it is the first podcast of the 2018-2019 season. And that's right. And we are in the mobile studio, and we are on the road to training camp right now.
Don't try this at home, kids.
No.
Hey, this is pretty crazy, but hey, we do what we can, right?
Josh is driving. I have both microphones. Nobody add us on Twitter about that. But here we go. Josh, what's going on, man? How you been?
Dude, I've been fantastic, man. Summer's been flying by. I can't wait. Dude, it's already end of July. July 31st is next Tuesday. The Ravens' first preseason game is less than a week. Football's here. And summer's almost over. Kids are almost going back to school. I know. It sucks, but football is upon us. Amen, amen.
There we go. And, I mean, it's crazy to think about. This is a good training camp for us to go to because the Ravens do have a game coming up. I mean, this is the Hall of Fame game. John Harbaugh has already come out and said this is going to be like an exhibition game, like a glorified practice. But it's going to be good to have a lot of these young guys, these rookies, go out and kind of get their first taste of pro football.
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting to see what this rookie class is all about. I know the buzz was created in the first round with Hurst and Jackson. We know the quarterback controversy, as we like to call it around here. I'm excited to see what they can prove. And from what I've been following beat by beat with, you know, all the Ravens writers and staff that give us some good content, because obviously I wish I could be out there every day taking it in training camp. But what's been impressive is Jordan Lasley, that rookie. He's been making plays, and watch out. He's going to be that sleeper wide receiver that everybody was all up in arms when they draft a receiver in the first round. And what are the Ravens doing? But we might find value here. And like I've always said, and you're going to hear it a lot, Antonio Brown was drafted in the sixth round.
Right.
Or fifth round, right? Sixth round, fifth round. And Tom Brady was round six as well. So these guys, you can find them wherever. I mean, we've seen top 10 draft picks in the draft overall bust, then we see people in round three or four make it. It's just what it is. But what we covered earlier this year is the Ravens cannot miss on this draft. This draft was utterly important because of that, because how many times we missed in rounds one through three, and yeah, it was detrimental to the health of the team and the growth. And I think this rookie class, the number one, knock on some wood around here, this team has been the healthiest this deep. How many times we got to read in April, May, June, out for the year, torn ACL, someone's banged up. I mean, with Hurst's foot issue, and I've seen the skin issue, it just got to heal. I mean, it's a minor issue. He's not going to be out extended period of time, but we really don't have a rash of injuries right now. So, and we already knew Yanda was going to start in the public. So I had a feeling about that because of his injury. Don't want to rush him back. He's the all-pro that we need there towards the end of the year. But I feel like right now I'm excited for the youth movement of the team, but I'm also excited for the veterans. Two veterans right now that have been very heavy presence and focus is Suggs and Flacco, being that they're the longest tenured on each respective sides of the ball. But Suggs entering his 16th year, everybody's talking about his rejuvenation and can he get back to the high level. He played at a high level last year. He's going into a final year of his contract. He's already said, you know, I want to be a Raven for life. He's made that very vocal and adamant on it. Can he, you know, close his career out here and be another Raven for life? And Flacco entering year 11, you know, Peter King alluded to it. You know, don't sleep on Joe Flacco, he said. And what I feel like what's going to happen is you're going to see this make or break mentality for Flacco and the Ravens offense. It's they know how to get it done, but, and I've always been arguing about that on social media, it's, but where's that fire pre-injury? You know, everybody's saying he's excited, and then other people are like, well, he hasn't had the toys and the weapons that he had in years past. And I couldn't agree with you more. Right now, the receiving core, apart from when Bolden and Torrey Smith were here,
yeah,
I feel like this is the most dynamic and exciting group. Not to take anything from Wallace and Macklin, they did, but Macklin was a disappointment. Wallace, he had the potential there, and I was hoping he would produce more. I don't know what was up with that, whether he wasn't on the same page with Joe, but I feel like with Crabtree making plays, I've seen Snead, I feel like everybody's going to contribute their part, and I've seen John Brown. Just this past day, you know, John Brown was catching deep balls in training camp from Flacco, and he looked great. So if John Brown can stay healthy, this could be a surprising offense with an Alex Collins running the ball and doing what he did building upon last year. I have a good feeling with the line. Again, I'm not saying we're going to be crowned Super Bowl champs here, but I feel like just entering camp, I had that good feeling. I feel like we're going to get back to the playoffs as the goal. And I feel like that this team can really build on something special if they keep their wits about them and their health, too. And I think it's a key part going into this thing.
Yeah, I mean, it is absolutely great that this training camp has been filled with not a lot of injuries. I think the only thing I've really read is that Tyus Bowser left practice early,
right,
earlier this week. And Hayden Hurst, he has had a skin issue, but it seems as if he's kind of playing through it. And even Harbaugh wanted him to kind of play through it a little bit more than I guess the physicians would allow him to. But
good old Harbaugh's pushing him.
Yeah, and he has to. I mean, besides Joe Flacco, I mean, we kind of know what's going on with Joe Flacco this year, and the fact that he's got a fire under him now because he does have a backup that potentially, you know, could take his spot down the road. I don't think it's going to be this year, but I do think down the road, Lamar Jackson could be a real threat to Joe's job. But this year's big for Harbaugh, too. I mean, how many years now have we missed the playoffs? Four years or something like that? Three years?
Row.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a big year
15,
for Harbaugh.
16 and 17, we missed the playoffs.
Yeah, so
it's too long.
This is a big year for Harbaugh and Joe Flacco, both. I mean, they both need to this is a make-or-break year for both of them, really.
It is. The make-or-break deal for that. But I also am excited because of the nucleus of the team that's still intact.
Mm-hmm.
When you say they missed the playoffs the last 3 years, black and white, they missed the playoffs. They didn't crash the party. They were one of the six teams in AFC. We get it. But if you look at how close they were in the last 2 years,
yeah,
they were virtually a play away last year. I mean, play away. They stopped the Bengals on fourth down. All the ups and downs of the season, it goes over. They're in the wild card round regardless. We're playing in a week 18, essentially.
Right.
And that's what you have to get excited about. They didn't just miss the playoffs and go 5-11. And,
sure.
Oh,
yeah.
They sucked and they didn't do this and, oh, we had injuries. And no, they weren't a bad football team. The Browns were 0-16 last year. They were a bad team. The Ravens weren't a bad team. They just were too inconsistent for their own good.
Right.
They would have a good game and then crash it down with a bad game and then almost have an even worse game.
Well,
and
not even that. They would have a great game,
yep,
and then in the fourth quarter, things would just fall apart.
Exactly. Or you have to credit to them because I actually did rewatch the Bengals game because I just wanted to really take it all in, and plus I was there. So when I'm in the moment, I sometimes latch on things that I really wouldn't watch on TV, but I just watched the lead. The Bengals had a great sizable lead in that game, and the Ravens were resilient, stopped them and came all the way back and had a lead up until the last minute of the game. And it was a mental breakdown. But I was just really frustrated, Brandon, how that last series, I don't want to live in the past there, but just breaking down how close they were.
Yeah.
And that last series, I mean, it was, they stopped them on first down, second down wasn't completed, third and long, and then it was fourth, it was third and 15. Because I remember that, because they had a defensive penalty to get them in that range, and then they gave us 5 yards back on a legal formation or something. So I think it was first and 15, and then it was incomplete. It was like an incomplete pass, and it was no gain. Then it was third and 15. I remember it was a 3 yard gain to, I think it was Eifert, if I remember serves correctly. It was fourth and 12, and they let the touchdown up. So it was like there's a lot of good energy this year building off of that. I love Martindale as the defensive coordinator. I really feel like they're going to get back to organized chaos on the defensive side. Here, Jefferson's been playing well. We have Weddle back there still. And Jimmy Smith's back from injury. That's key for the secondary. And Tavon Young's back.
So that's a big name for
yes,
me.
Yes, man. So we're getting there. We're the healthiest right now. Training camp, there's always been a buzz, but there's a buzz with Flacco doing decent, and we're going to get to see it today. And that's what I really want to hone in on as some keys today, Brandon, is going out and trekking out to Owens Mills today. What are you anticipating on seeing today, and what do you want to see as far as keys to building upon training camp?
I'm really intrigued of the wide receiver position. It's a lot of change there. We now have pretty much three locks. We have Crabtree, we have Smokey Brown, and Willie Snead. Now, like you said, Joe has not had anyone to really throw to in the last couple years. So, I mean, this is going to be really good to see what Joe can do. And remember, last year, training camp, Joe was hurt. He didn't have time to gel with these new wide receivers like Macklin that we had at the time. So it's really good to see Joe being able to work with these guys and kind of work out the kinks before the actual season starts. But there's a couple other names you want to think about coming into wide receiver. I kind of think Chris Moore is a lock for maybe like the fourth spot. But then you also have guys like Tim White, and you do have Breshad Perriman. I mean, yeah, like you were saying last year, this guy was done with the team, but he's still at practice. He's still kind of fighting for a spot. I'm kind of intrigued to see what'll happen. Just knowing from what I've read online, not really seeing anything in person, it seems like Breshad doesn't have that lock position that you know a first rounder probably should. But I kind of want to see tonight or today. Is Breshad Perriman looking good? I mean, you got to remember this also. This is his first training camp. He's been here 4 years and has never been in a training camp before.
Isn't that funny?
So, I mean, he's kind of a big question mark. From what we've seen, does he look great? I mean, from the last couple seasons? No, far from great. But can he show off in maybe the Hall of Fame game and potentially be trade bait? I mean, I'm kind of intrigued to see what'll happen there. And Tim White, we were all impressed with last preseason. And then he got hurt and couldn't make the 53-man roster. Has he come back from that injury? Was he able to bounce back? Has he improved from what we saw last year? That's what kind of intrigues me. I want to see the wide receivers today. I want to see what they're going to do. And plus, you got to look at a guy like Smokey Brown, who has been fantastic, you know, so far. We catching the long ball from Joe Flacco in a highlight that they posted on Twitter the other day. But he is a guy who's somewhat injury prone a little bit. Got to worry about that a little bit just to see. Yes, he looks great, but can he sustain that talent?
He's got to sustain it, and this is it. I mean, I've already – the ship has sailed with me with Perriman. But I applaud the Ravens for giving him that one last-ditch effort. But there are 53 spots to fill, so if he's not going to be on the wide receiver core,
right,
maybe he can contribute to special teams or anything
that. And that's the thing. He's a former first-rounder. You're not going to send a first-rounder, especially one who's been injured so much, out on special teams. But can he be that versatile player where he can play multiple positions?
I like to see this, Brandon. I don't know right now. I have to look at the depth chart and see what's going to unfold for us. But I feel like we don't have that bona fide kickoff punt returner, do we not?
Right, because so, we Michael Campanaro was the guy
last year.
And so, he's with Tennessee now, I believe.
Remember Perryman's speed. If he's not going to be good with his hands, maybe we can use his speed. And the thing about coaching is, and I've always learned this in leadership and coaching, is you want to use your player's strengths to their advantage. So if Perriman can't do what he used to do as a wide receiver, catch the ball, because
right,
that's his pretty much number one problem for whatever reason, just cannot catch the ball. He had some great games. I remember that great game he had against the Dolphins where he just took the ball and ran. If his speed is his strength, use that. Let him – I mean, I know catching's part of kick returning, but let him field it and let him get down the field. So I think that could be a spot for him, if any.
Yeah, and the other position I'm kind of looking at is Jimmy Smith and Marlon Humphrey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's going to happen there? Marlon Humphrey, after Jimmy Smith went down, had a pretty good season last year. Now that both of these guys are healthy, where is Marlon Humphrey going to land?
He's got a spot. You're not going to cast him off the team. But that's intriguing to us now because cornerbacks are biggest depth right now. And that's why I love, because you can't – how many times has Harbaugh said you can never have too many cornerbacks?
Right, and absolutely.
And you've seen it with the rash of injuries with Young last year and then Jimmy Smith going down late in the year. It's good to have these reserves. It's really intriguing to see who's going to make the team, but I really feel like it's going to come down to who's going to want it more, who's hungrier as it always does. But, yes, Humphrey's going to have a spot, whether it's a starting spot, whether it's going to be a sub spot for a nickel package or a third down package, I don't know. But I like to see him. I don't think he's going to be not on the team.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a shock if they did let him go.
No, I don't see that happening.
No, and then we're not going to talk about that because he's still under contract, their rookie contract, so he's going into his second year. And I feel like he's going to grow. I feel like some games last year, Humphrey grew and matured in some games. So I feel like the Ravens are going to really hone in on that skill set and build. And it's all about every year. When we want to see these players, it's about building every time. And I feel like if the Ravens can do that and coach these players up and build on last year, I think they're going to have better success, if any.
Now, is there any rookie that we drafted just this year? Now, of course, it's going to be hard to judge just a training camp. But is there anyone specifically you're going to be looking for those numbers to see what they're bringing to the table today?
Could you repeat the question, Brandon? I'm paying attention.
Good for you. Good. Good. You should.
Well, we got bikers on the road. So.
And let me tell you, this is my way to work.
This is crazy navigation right here.
This is my way to work, and this is every day at rush hour.
Oh,
and
my God. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, this. How you doing?
I've yelled at many, many bikers.
Yeah.
No shoulder, and it's rush hour.
And that was a blind curve, and I'm like, I'm just going to take the chance.
Right. They're the worst.
Yeah.
Sorry if you enjoy biking, but don't do it on a street with no shoulder. So are there any rookies that we drafted this year that you're specifically looking, I mean, besides like Lamar and Hayden Hurst, is there anybody from this draft class that you're really going to be looking for today to see what they're bringing to the table? Because we haven't seen any gameplay yet.
I really want to see Lasley, especially to some of the plays I've seen with him and Flacco and him and Lamar, you know, catching the ball. And I really am excited to see what this kid can bring. I've seen a lot of highlights per the Ravens app and per the Ravens website. I really love what he can do catching in traffic, and I really want to see if his speed and agility is what it's all about. And I want to see, because I've seen some good catches, and that's the big rookie, other than, again, the first round Lamar, and I know Hurst is not going to be out there, but I'm definitely intrigued to see Jordan Lasley catch that ball for us.
All right, so should we wrap it up before we get to training camp and kind of, you want to talk a little bit about your trip coming up? I mean, it's a big week for Ravens Nation. Ray Lewis will be entering the Hall of Fame. The Ravens are playing the Hall of Fame game.
What a crazy week, man.
And you're going to be there.
Week. Yeah, I mean, it all starts with today. Going to training camp, you know, got the game Thursday, the events on Saturday night with Ray Lewis being enshrined in the ceremony officially. So, Brandon, this is surreal, and you know me, and you know what this means to me and what Ray and the organization means to the organization and the fans, and what this means to have the second Raven go in and the second Raven that was drafted and being a part of that. He built it with Ogden years ago. Mm-hmm. Be honest with you, bro, I mean, we don't even have enough time to me to dive in, just be honest with you, because I'm just, there's a lot of nuggets I want to cover. But if for all those who don't know his story or just read about it, get brushed up on it before, you might hear a lot of snippets, but he was just doing, and I'm going to share this, because, and I'm obviously going to be paraphrasing the last interview, but I got out of work. I knew he was being interviewed on 105.7 The Fan. Ray Lewis was on this week. And 105.7 The Fan, if for all those, you know, I'm not promoting, but they've had all week on the Scott and Jeremy show.
Sure.
They've had different players and different former and current players, you know, talk about Ray. And I'm still waiting to hear it. I haven't heard it yet, but apparently he interviewed Eddie George, and my dad said that was a great interview.
Because
you know how him and Eddie George were Titans back in the day.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, not to say, you know, Ray was on the Titans, but you know what I mean. You know, they just went at it and had battle after battle. And two great warriors, and Ray Lewis has always alluded to that. But Ray was interviewed by them yesterday, and I caught the last of the part of the interview. And something that I don't want to give anything away. I would say listen to it and also read his story. But he said something that just I really, really latched on and really didn't know this. Ray said he really didn't really understand true leadership until his last playoff run in year 17. It took him that long because he said this. His arm hurt so bad. The pain post-surgery and all that during that playoff run, that he had to set that aside. He knew he couldn't be 100% for his team, that he said he had to put leadership above play. Mm-hmm. And he had to be there for his team to lead. instead of being there on the field. And I remember this because I remember watching the Super Bowl and I saw it. He was a liability out there in the middle. And I'm like, how much longer can this keep up? You know, and I did see the effects of that. But just hearing him say that perspective, something I never knew, and you just go, wow, man. Just the pain he had to endure because he said, just one more game, one more play. Just kept doing play after play, and he always tell you. You know, I've talked to him in person many times, and we've shared some moments, and I've heard him say that. He always said, just give me one play. I wouldn't write a better storybook ending for with this defense on the field to have a four – and I'm getting chills thinking about a four-down goal line stand. I mean, the Niners cross the goal line, we lose the Super Bowl. And to have what this team is known for is defense, and that's what he always echoes, is that exact words. He goes, what this team is known for, defense. You give me one play and just how it happened. And I'm going to touch on this. And speaking of that, and by the way, Brandon, I want to talk to you about that because I definitely want to have special coverage for Canton because this is huge.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you – and I think I mentioned this before, but Crabtree's on the team now. But isn't it crazy how Crabtree was involved in that infamous last play with the ball falling and the whole holding, not holding, and they were fighting for the ball?
Right.
And then how Eric Weddle was involved in 4th and 29, and they're both on the team.
Yeah.
Think about that.
That's cool.
I almost want to get them to, if any Raven media finds this out there and finds our show or anything, please get Weddle and get Crabtree in the same room on the same interview somehow, somewhere, and bring that up to them. And I like to hear their reactions because I actually brought that up to Steve McNair, the late, great Steve McNair, when he was here back when his tenure on the Ravens, and I brought up some of the old Titans Ravens bouts and the games and the playoff games, and you know, he was reminiscing about that, and I just found it very awesome how the players that would come available and come on the team and they were part of those crazy games, and I'm like, and Eric Weddle was involved in that. I think he attempted to make the tackle on Ray Rice, and I think Bolden blocked him if my memory serves correctly, and he was a part of that play.
Yeah.
And
His picture's been up at the castle, yep, for a while.
Exactly.
Before he was a Raven.
So it's just awesome to see that. So I've always said, if anything, you know, think back on the run that the Ravens had and Ray's last year. But this is special, man. You know, we drafted him, you know, the second pick in the first round. And it was another thing, and that's why I covered it this year. How crazy is a storybook ending, how the first draft, we drafted two players in the first round, and then here we go again, closing out, you know, Ray being inducted and really closing out that chapter. We already have Ogden solidified.
Ozzie's chapter, really.
Well, that too. So it was just kind of like sealing a legacy. You know, it was just amazing to see. So I'm excited. You're going to see a lot of me. I'm actually going to probably do, if Brandon, we're going to talk to try to do another podcast about it, but if we're not available for it, I'm definitely going to do a Facebook Live interactive, you know, about the Canton trip and about Ray's, you know, legacy, what it means to me, and cover the trip. And we'll be trekking out. Me and my father will be going out there to see it live in person. It's going to be very special for any fan who's going. I'm excited for you guys who's not enjoying on TV, but it's just going to be one for the ages.
Absolutely, and we'll be back after training camp to kind of talk about what we saw and who was really impressive today. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on the call. But for now, we're going to go check out Ravens training camp. So we'll talk to you guys later.
That's right. Fly high training camp.
And we are back from Ravens training camp. And, man, they've been talking about the construction of the castle and everything. Josh, dude, that is a first-class place.
Isn't it? I told you it looked like a resort. It don't even look like an NFL facility. I kept saying that. It's awesome. That's all I can say. It's a wonder to see. Very well constructed, very well crafted. It's first class, just like the organization, my friend.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was it's been a wet, hot Maryland summer this summer, and we couldn't actually park on the grounds there because the field that they have people park in was actually flooded. So they had us go to a park not too far away and actually shuttled us over in some luxury buses, which, I mean, if you're gonna go to the castle, I mean, might as well make an entrance.
Exactly. Wasn't the entrance you know, like arriving in like a fancy sports car, like players. We arrived in and someone had a limo. What was that limo?
I did see that, yeah.
I don't know what the limo was about, but it was pretty cool. Well, it's like Antonio. I don't know if you saw this on NFL Network. Antonio Brown arrived at the Steelers camp in a helicopter. I don't think anything could beat that.
That seems a little too high-tech for like somebody like Joe Flacco. Hey. But, I mean, I wouldn't put it past Terrell Suggs, who we didn't get to see today.
We did.
Well, we did.
We did.
Because
we had the good vantage point where we were sitting.
That's right.
To break that, we sat in front of the Ravens training room in the bleachers, and the windows behind us held the weight room, and Suggs was pushing a weighted sled, and he was in there, and a few other select Ravens. I saw Marshall Yanda doing some workouts, so it was pretty cool to have an inside scoop to see these guys in action, man, and getting ready for the season.
Yeah, so we got to see Lamar Jackson. He got to throw a little bit. It's three fields that they have these bleachers at, so unfortunately, we picked the field that didn't have the scrimmage close to us, so it was kind of hard to tell who was doing what. But of some of the few big things, it looked like Smokey Brown still was impressing.
Yes.
And was able to catch a few, and it looks like Hayden Hurst was doing pretty well in training camp today.
Yeah, they were a few standouts. John Brown's continue to have a strong showing, showing why we signed him. Again, staying healthy, he's going to provide a huge boost to the wide receiver core. And just looking at overall, the passes were there. Now, there was a few one-offs, a couple of interceptions. But so far, I think the offense right now has had the dominant showing in training camp. Flacco was under center for the majority of the scrimmages from what I can see my vantage point, throwing some rockets out there. He had a couple of good balls to Crabtree. Now, Snead caught one on the sideline, took it, looked like for a touchdown. It's going to be dynamic to see if we can picture the wideout picture for a second and see Crabtree, whether it's left or right, John Brown, so it's wide receiver 1 and 2,
right,
and Willie Snead in the slot, and you're going to get Hurst and a few combinations of tight ends out there. So it's really going to be interesting to see how it's all going to take form, and Collins with running back number one position in the backfield, I think. So you can kind of see how the offense is going to be. Lastly, as I said, I called him out to be a standout for the rookies. Dropped a few, but some good observations today I took away, Brandon, was Tim White was out there,
yeah,
catching passes, and Jaleel Scott. He's actually bigger than Lastly, I think, looking at his specs and just looking at him on the field. So I think altogether, our wide receiver core is really deep. I was really excited to see Tavon Young out there flying around. We did get a chance to see him do his thing. And I'm just overall excited for the offensive side of the ball. We think really defense is going to be really, really solid, but I want the offense to catch up to the defense, and that's what we're going to observe.
That's right. And you were talking about running backs and Alex Collins.
Yeah.
We saw a pretty interesting drill that looked like they were using a giant red medicine ball.
Yeah.
So what was that drill all about? Could you tell what they were trying to go for?
It was like a jump cut, almost like a hesitant, if the running back was looking to go hit the hole, and it was almost an obstacle, and they had to jump cut and go left or right.
Right.
So it was it was almost like a semi juke, almost.
Make a left here.
Make a left. Thank you. And we're navigating our way back from the camp, so got to make sure we get home at a good pace here. But in any respect, it was a cool thing, because I even told you, never seen the medicine ball broken out in camp. And I know the receivers were doing the drills, but one of the drills that took away from that, the running backs were also doing that pylon, punching through and hitting the hole hard. So it's really interesting to see that, and I really think that it helps in their agility, because it's hard unless I actually explained it or did a demonstration, which I can't right now. But it was almost like the ball rolled in front of him, and they took a step back and waited for it. It was almost like a defender coming at you.
Right.
This is the best way I can think. The defender coming or cutting towards you, and then you stop your motion, let his momentum carry by, and then proceed, as we've seen that all the time on a lot of routes at receivers and running backs. So it's like a jump cut. It's the best way I can say it. So it's pretty good. They provide drills just like they do in the football ranks that, help the players out. These players aren't just out there just doing their thing. They're doing fundamental drills, even though they're paid professionals at their craft. So it's really cool to see that up close.
Now, Josh Brinkley, we commented on one of our live Facebook videos, and he said that he was really interested in the O-line. Did you notice anything, anything jump out at you today about the offensive line?
I think
It was kind of hard to tell because the scrimmage was on the other side of the field,
and they're interchanging everybody. Yeah. And I can't tell who's they're mixing rookies in, and with Yanda being out, I don't know what he's going to fit in the mix. But one standout is good is seeing Alex Lewis back on the field.
Yeah.
So I want to see what I saw. Some of the blocks, it's really hard because they're not getting down and dirty in the trenches and really blocking hard.
You make it right here.
The O-lines are really, really tough in training camp, I believe, because they're not, you know, they're not playing that smash-mouth football up front in the trenches. So, but I think the addition of Alex Lewis, watching the preseason, I would say. But I would say standouts, you know, Alex Lewis would be one I would want to watch.
Okay. That's really interesting. It's good to have him back. I'm pretty sure we were trying to figure out who was doing an interview after practice was over. We couldn't see. I'm pretty sure that was Alex Lewis talking about
I saw the Ravens Twitter when we got back. Yeah, it was Alex Lewis.
There you go. So what else did you take away from training camp?
The overall atmosphere. I mean, you know, the fans are excited. You know, getting to talk amongst fans, it's great. Football's back. And it was, like I said, as the camp progressed in the morning, I think because of the traffic situation and they were shuttling people in and out, we didn't really see it get full until mid-morning. But no, it was good energy. There was a lot of kids out there. It was a great, great sunny morning, a Saturday morning. You couldn't ask for perfect weather, man. Like, it was, you know, less humid today. I mean, it got hot towards the end a little bit, but I just felt it was just overall just a great time and a great atmosphere. Ravens do it well. I mean, they had, you know, giveaways. You know, they pretty much gave it to... gave back to the fans a little bit, you know, having access to the field. We were walking on the actual field, you know, to get around to the bleachers and, you know, to get the on-field access. We got a few photos of the players coming out of the training camp. Harbaugh waved to us and, you know, gave us a thumbs up. So did Marty Morton wave the coaches, and some of the players waved. I know Eric Weddle acknowledged the crowd as he came out. So the players know we're there, you know, and a lot of rookies interacted too, and it was good to see, you know, Tucker doing his thing, obviously. And
Let's let Josh merge on the 695 here.
Absolutely. And,
I mean, it's good. Yeah. It's good for the players to have fans at training camp because, it's very different than M&T Bank Stadium, but it's good for them to have that interaction with the fans, have, you know, the fans are going to let you know if you drop a ball or if something doesn't go well. They're going to let you know, hey, you screwed up. And if you did something really well, you're going to be like, oh, wow, and fans reacted to that. Okay.
That's right. Yeah, and they feed off of that, and it's not like the energy of the crowd at an actual game atmosphere, but... You know, they want to put on a good show. But not only that, but they want to really focus and hone in on the skills they need to and improve each practice. So I feel it's just an overall great environment, and it's great to have the connection once again, because we remember, you know, what happened at McDaniel. You know, we had that intimate connection. It was taken away because they wanted to get back to the facility and do it right. And then now it's kind of like all full circle. Now it's just marrying the two, having the fan interaction just like McDaniel, but having it at the facility. So it's a win-win all around. So I think this is the first year they're doing it. It's been an organized success so far. I haven't heard any major issues, so I think it might continue.
Yeah, that's a great thing coming out of this training camp, that everybody's healthy right now.
That's true. I didn't see any major injuries today, nor did you.
But we saw Crabtree kind of leave the field early on, but he came back immediately. It doesn't seem like there was anything there.
No. May have just been. And he was out there, you know, touching some good balls, and it was good to see him. For me, that's the first time I actually got to see him, you know, on the field for the Ravens, and he looked good. I mean, he's a proven veteran, you know, and I seen him out there, you know, talking with some of the receivers, and that's some things that you don't get to see every now and then on the Ravens side. I know they're showing you the great things, not say talking off the field's bad or anything, but they're showing you the good plays and all that, but you get to see the downtime. Like, you see him interacting, you see the coaches interact with the players. Like, I saw Marty Mordenweg speaking to Lamar Jackson on a few drills, and he was pointing and this and that and explaining. So you're seeing them being coached. It's not just they're going out there doing drills and the coaches are just sitting there with their arms crossed on the sidelines cutting up. Like, they're involved. They're probably yelling, instruction. So it's overall, you're seeing the team doing their job it's a great thing, man. I've always loved it.
Now, speaking of Lamar Jackson, we kind of noticed that at least during the drills, it was going Joe, RG3, Josh Woodrum, Lamar Jackson. Is there anything there that he's the fourth guy that gets the snaps during this training camp? Is there anything to read there?
The only thing I read into it, he's a true rookie. He's about the bottom on the totem pole because Flacco's one, RG3's got the second tenure, Woodrum's got the third tenure, and hey, Rook, take the back seat. That's the way I look at it. I don't put any stock into it. It's not going to matter depth chart-wise. We already know the reason why we moved up and traded the 32nd pick to get Lamar Jackson. He's going to be the future, so I don't care if he's 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th on the depth chart. He's going to be still on the squad no matter what. So it's all said and done. They're going to do the right things to groom him and get him ready for the future here. So, no, I don't know. It's just maybe it's just how the drills panned out.
Anything else we should cover for this training camp?
No, I think overall, you know, I just, again, just want to reiterate the health of the team. I'm very excited for that. I'm really excited to see live football. I mean, we're going to get after it in less than a week, and then we're going to play the Chicago Bears. Starters are probably pretty much not going to play at all. You know how it is in that game when I've seen it in years past where whoever team as it is, starters are pretty much non-existent. They're dressed or, you know, but no pads on the sideline, or and some of them sometimes only make the trip depending on their circumstances. So, but this is different because one of our own's getting inducted. And, Don Martindale, the defensive coordinator, actually joked and said, Terrell Suggs should just leave his toothbrush in Canton because he'll be there. So, yeah, it was pretty funny, which is great because we were just talking about that today. And Ed Reed should go in next year, hopefully, another first ballot. Suggs remains to be seen. He's built the pedigree. I feel like he's got the Hall of Famer first ballot. That's a debate for another day. But, yeah, so Terrell Suggs should be another future Hall of Famer for the Ravens, just keeping it going. And it's going to be great and it's finishing, hopefully finishing his career out. But, again, we didn't see him on the field. But he was
still
in the
working,
room.
Though.
He was working. He wasn't just sitting, chilling, and relaxing. He was in the weight room, and we have testament to that. And it's just good overall seeing the healthy players. I just want to add, you know, Jimmy Smith, Tavon Young back. You wanted to reiterate how important that is for the strength of this team going forward to win games and breaking down the schedules. We will later in the preseason, just speaking about it today, just sitting in the stands on downtime. And it's going to be tough, and the Ravens have to start strong because there's very important key games early. Now, all 16 games are important. There's quality opponents everywhere. It's up and down. It's the NFL. But we have to come out gangbusters and really prove, you know, and we were talking about that revenge game. You know, second game in at Cincinnati, we don't get revenge on the New Year's Eve game. So, got to come out healthy and strong, start this preseason off right, you know, and hopefully we can learn a few things on Thursday night, get ready for a great weekend, and then they come back home for the preseason. So, it's going to be great. Football is in full swing. Ravens are in camp. We're enjoying it. Fans are fired up. Purple Fridays are back. It's phenomenal, brother.
Absolutely. So, who do you think gets the start at quarterback for this Hall of Fame game?
I'm going to call RG3.
You think RG3?
Yes. Jackson, I would say
he's
maybe he plays
the
whole
in the
second
game
half.
At some point, right?
Oh, yeah. He's going to play the whole second half, I would assume.
Yeah,
or
I mean,
most.
It'll be interesting to see. I'm intrigued to see what he brings to the table. It's hard, you know, because people have, like, been coming up to me at work and talking about the Ravens and saying, what type of year do you think they're going to have? What can we expect from this player and that player? And, like, Lamar Jackson, Hayden Hurst, these type of guys, they're rookies. I mean, I don't want to say I expect this and that, whatever, because there's no pro tape on these guys.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, it's really difficult to say this is going to happen, that's going to happen, because you don't know. These guys could come out like the world on fire, and then they also could be duds. I want to see the preseason first before I make any comments of what kind of impact they're going to have on this team.
And that's what's key, because we don't know. We only know what they've done in college. The pro level is way different. It's a faster game. These guys are bigger, stronger, faster. Preseason, you're right, Brandon. It's going to tell all on this team what the pieces may fall, who's going to probably make the final squad, who's going to be cut, losing jobs. Well, we said, training camp, preseason, it's the ultimate job interview, because when you watch these games, these guys, the jobs are on the line, and they're fighting for a position in the NFL to be employed by a team, and they're cut, hopefully, to be good enough to prove to be picked up by another team if they didn't make it on the Ravens, at least in that regard, or you know, get signed to a practice squad. So there's always a way to do it, whether way you slice it and dice it. Players can contribute any way we can. We were talking about that amongst ourselves today. Like, yeah. What quarterbacks would we keep, even if we keep three or two? Would some go to the practice squad? Yada, yada, yada. We don't know. I mean, it's really tough, but we already know Jackson's going to be on the team some way, shape, or form. RG3 is a question mark, because would the Ravens really keep three? They haven't done it in a long, long time, and you don't want to fill up a roster spot with that when you know it's not going to – you want to free it up for maybe, you know, six or seven receivers or eight, you know, or more corners, because you can never have two corners – too many corners, I should say. But, you know, with that, I just really want to bear in mind that it's just very important to, you know, build each practice and improve each game and the game plan accordingly, and just build, culminate to that season opener against the Bills at home, and it can really get after it when it starts counting.
Absolutely. So, Josh, for this training camp edition of The Call, have we covered everything?
Quoth Raven, nevermore. It's going to be a huge week. A football game's got to be played, and a Hall of Famer will be enshrined as another Raven enters, and it's going to be awesome. Get ready. It's going to be a great week.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
That's right. Now go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. If you are not liking us over on Facebook, you missed the live video from inside training camp today that we did earlier in the day. So you could have seen, you know, Joe Flacco's handprint and a couple other things before we kind of got shut down. That cell phone policy is kind of strict at training camp, but we don't want
Spygate.
Yeah, we don't want Spygate.
We don't want Spygate here.
So we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you are
MySpace.
Social. MySpace, sure.
It's still out there. They have over a million users, I think, still. It's out there.
Who is on MySpace?
I don't know. What? Anybody out there on MySpace? I don't know.
All right. Well, yeah. Tell people.
I did read that.
It's still an active website.
I almost want to pull it up when I get home just to mess with it now.
I might just create a new profile.
I wonder if Tom's still there.
I think he's on Facebook now, to be honest. Yeah.
You think Tom's still there? I want to see Tom. Tom was everybody's first friend. If you didn't have a friend, Tom was there for you.
Yeah. Where's the social network movie about Tom?
And these millennials are probably like, who's Tom and what's MySpace? Exactly. Go look it up. Google. It's a powerful thing. Trust me, it's awesome.
All right, so let everybody know there. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I'm ready for the Hall of Fame game. I'm ready for the season to start. You should listen to The Call, and they'll get you ready. Because don't forget, once the season starts...
The Call live on location, baby.
That's right.
Canton, Ohio.
Two shows a week coming to you.
This might be like five shows this week.
It's crazy.
It's just going to be
one a day is what we're doing.
Why not? I might do two a day. Screw it. I might just take off vacation. We're going to do three shows a day. I can't wait. It's going to be great, Brandon. I can't wait.
All right, guys. That's it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much. It's been a great pleasure to be another year doing The Call with you, Brandon, and everybody out there supporting it. You know, it's just been great since day one, and all of our, you know, active listeners across the way, you know, all over the world. We couldn't do it without you guys. It's been special. It means a lot to us to interact with you guys on social media. We love your feedback. You know, a lot of people are excited to do the Facebook Lives because it creates live interaction. I love the discussion it creates. You know, not only doing the podcast that we do, getting the information out there and getting the dialogue, but also, you know, getting that interaction. I love it. I love talking about it. And then also checking to see everybody's doing when I can. It's just been awesome. You guys are truly a blessing just to, you know, be a part of this, you know, ride with you guys in Ravens Nation and The Call as we put out the Facebook page and the podcast for you guys and any content we can. And you just, you know, just one of our listeners, Greg Jordan, you know, we were talking on Facebook and, you know, he lives out of state and he said, you know, he totally relies on us because he doesn't get the local, you know, he's not here. He's not present. So, you know, it's just moments like that where, you know, it means something. You know, we put it out there and people are very interested, especially when they're out of touch with the local, you know, you don't want to take it for granted, but again, some people do sometimes, Brandon. It's, you know, they're here and it's like when I went to D.C., you know, I went to D.C. and never really did the whole Washington Monument, this, and that, because I lived here all my life, and it took me over 30 years to finally do it. You know, it was like, wow. So you never want to take that for granted, being here, and it's in your own backyard, and that's why I love going to camps and doing autograph signings and going to the player appearances and doing all the events, because you just want to be part of it, because, again, I never knew what it was like not to have a football team, and I speak to people who never have a team, it's just, it's never going to take for granted. Just being there, seeing the kids' excitement, who probably never got to go to a Ravens game before. It's just great. Great to see the joy in the kids' faces when a player comes up and signs an autograph for them, or they get to see a favorite player up close and looking at the roster card and calling out their favorite players and acknowledgement. So it's just that interaction and as a whole, and you know, bringing people together. It's just great, great conversation. Ravens Nation is very strong. We're heading into 2018. Let's get back to the playoffs, shall we? Hall of Fame game, Hall of Fame week. We're starting it off awesome this year. Ray Lewis will be enshrined. We're going to have a great year this year. Baltimore Ravens, 2018. How about it? Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.